I have to say that I hate to go shopping for appliances because the stores really irritate me. Most of them will say something like, "We will beat our competitors' prices." And I think, why would that make me want to go to that store? What they're really saying is, "We'll give you our best price if you force us to, but only if you do the work." That's not really what I would call customer service, and it doesn't draw me to go to a particular place. They want us to think they have our best interests at heart, but what they're really saying are our prices are inflated enough that we can bring them down if we're forced to and still make money. The stores I'm really drawn to are those who at least pretend or do a better job of pretending that they have my interests at heart, the ones that realize they exist for consumers like me, that the consumer is their reason for being. And I think they shouldn't have to be made to do something like that. All I'm asking them is to do what they were made for, to serve the customer. And then I think about myself and I realize very often I do the right thing, not because it simply is the right thing, but because I think it will win me something, either recognition or favor with God or some kind of cosmic brownie points. I'll do something helpful if I'm forced to do it. And so it is foreign to us, the concept of helping for its own sake. Helping not so that we can gain something or best someone, but just because helping is the thing to do. It goes against our human culture to just be proactive in helping other people. Jesus, in many of his teachings, didn't say it in these words, but he was often trying to convey to his followers, you just really don't yet understand what the kingdom of God is all about. It is about serving God and serving other people. And as a Christian, if I embrace that way of living, it isn't that I don't know how to win over others. It's that I choose instead to serve them. In the gospel reading today, James and John assume that Jesus, with all the power he's already shown them, would want to get people in line, make them do what they're supposed to do. They wanted him to invoke a punitive miracle on a village of Samaritans because they weren't being hospitable. James and John, like many of us, didn't understand we are here to serve other people. They had somehow missed what Jesus was trying to teach them about serving others, about the first being last. Jesus wanted them to be servants, to love others, and they wanted to use God's wrath to punish those who weren't serving them, to prove that they came first. When we serve other people, we shouldn't have to be made to do it, because loving God and loving other people is what we are made for. The gospel today has one of the most moving images in Scripture to me when it says Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was going there to show God's power over the hostility and the greed of this world, to prove that loving and serving wins over what awaited him in Jerusalem, arrest and persecution and torture and execution. So if God triumphs over all of that, can't God lift us above anything we might go through? I believe so, but I believe one of the ways we are lifted above what we go through is by helping others. I'm right in there with James and John, proving that I don't really get what Jesus is about when I describe another person as my cross to bear. While it sounds kind of holy, what it means is, I've exhausted all other avenues, and I'm just going to decide this person is part of the burden that I'm supposed to carry through life. Like the appliance store, I ultimately end up in the right place of trying to help someone, but I do it when I have no other choice. But if we really take up the cross, we do it willingly and proactively. Jesus chose to serve. He chose to bear the cross. He didn't do it simply as a last resort. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. We serve others not because we're forced to, but because it is what God calls us to do. Jesus turns the world upside down. We don't hope that God will call down punitive miracles to get back at the people who have wronged us. We pray for the miracle in which they find God. As followers of Christ, we don't try to prove that we go first, that we are first. We refuse to try to win out over others because we know, finally, that we are here to serve them. We love people proactively, knowing that it may bring us hostility and earthly rejection, or at the very least, misunderstanding. But we don't pick up the cross as our last resort. We do it because we know it is a way of bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth here and now. And if we do it, this world becomes a more loving place where people want to serve. For us, setting our faces to go to Jerusalem means we love others because it's what we're made for, not because someone is making us do it. We know trouble lies ahead when we make such countercultural choices, but we go anyway. We seek eternity. We seek God. As Christians, we are to refuse to let competition rule over compassion. In following Jesus, we love others not because we're forced to, but because loving others allows us to stop trying to get the best of others and allows us to give the best of ourselves. We love because we choose to love. We love because with Jesus we have set our faces to go to Jerusalem. Amen.